It is John Gibson. You recognize that as one of these nights, the Eagles. And I'll tell you, if you sign up for the podcast, I'm going to tell my Eagles story at the end of the podcast today, because it's Glenn Frey's birthday. And this involves me being involved with them when they were young and unknown. And I was working for Atlantic Records, and I could not make them a hit. And I decided I was in the wrong business, and I clearly was. Okay, so Henley sung that song, but we're going to talk about Glenn Frey. It's his birthday today. That's on the podcast, so I urge you to go and subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. Let me go over the news today. In impeachment, the big story is Gordon Sondland. He flips and revises his testimony, says that, yes, he told the Ukrainians there was a quid pro quo. This is in the New York Times. Of course, what he's worried about is being charged with lying to Congress. I mean, this is, you know, Roger Stone's on trial for that right now, and Sondland wants nothing to do with that. The money quote is, Mr. Sondland's disclosure appeared intended to insulate him from accusations that he intentionally misled Congress during his earlier testimony. What is not clear from this story to me is whether he, Sondland, told the Ukrainians it was quid pro quo, or whether Trump passed the message to the Ukrainians that it was a quid pro quo. Republicans on the Sondland reversal, it's in Politico. The answer to the question, what do they think, is who cares? Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said Trump will probably be acquitted in the Senate in any impeachment trial. While each deposition seems to bring Trump ever closer to being impeached by the House, much of his Senate jury is tuning it out, according to interviews with more than a dozen GOP senators. It's a sign that there may be almost nothing Democrats can unearth in their impeachment inquiry that will move many GOP senators to support Trump's removal from office. Yeah, Lindsey Graham says, I'm not even reading the transcripts. I'm tuning it out because it's a bullshit. It's a bogus sham procedure. House subpoenas Mick Mulvaney, the acting chief of staff at the White House, in the New York Times. You know, after he told, you know, that press conference, get over it, this is how it works, it only figures they'd subpoena him. I think he's not going to go and testify. Senate Republicans consider including Biden's in an impeachment trial. This is in the Washington Post. Money quote, among a group of Trump's allies inside and outside of Congress, there's intense and growing interest in countering the House Democrats' impeachment inquiry with their own scrutiny of Hunter Biden's overseas business dealings in Ukraine and China. Because his father was vice president at the time, these allies believe it would be a way of explaining why Trump pressed the Ukrainian president to look into the Bidens. Washington Post says Trump's defense coming unraveled as his diplomats testify. There's a money quote there. You can take a look at it. I mean, you know, the reason I put that money quote in is, once again, creeping into news coverage are these phrases the New York Times and the Washington Post use. And this one is, without evidence, Trump has claimed his own administration officials who have complied with congressional subpoenas are never Trumpers. Without evidence. They always say that. Well, I'm not so sure that it is without evidence. State Department's number three. I mean, the State Department is just shot through from top to bottom with never Trumpers. State Department's number three set to testify today about firing Yovanovitch. I don't understand why people are upset about firing Yovanovitch. People get fired all the time. She didn't have any right to the job. She serves at the pleasure of the president. Trump, SCOTUS may have to face a case of a prosecutor demanding Trump's taxes. New York Times. And in a lower court, this is kind of an indication of where this may go. Trump, evidently one of the arguments Trump's lawyers are making is releasing his taxes would make it hard for him to do his job. And the courts wrote, we note that the past six presidents, dating back to Carter, have all voluntarily released their tax returns. While we do not place dispositive weight on this fact, meaning that doesn't mean he must, it reinforces our conclusion that the disclosure of personal financial information standing alone is unlikely to impair the president in performing the duties of his office. Well, we'll see how SCOTUS reacts to that. Washington Post, Kentucky outcome embarrasses Trump, worries Republicans. Bevin lost by 5,000 votes. There's a recount coming. Trump was just there for a rally. This is interesting. Washington Post, news organizations do know the whistleblower's name. They won't say it, and they admit they know. Here's the money quote. One online publication, Real Clear Investigations, offered a lengthy, if unconfirmed, account about the whistleblower's identity last week. That's the one I've been telling you about. But its reporting was largely ignored outside of a few conservative news sources such as RedState.com and Breitbart, and personalities such as Rush Limbaugh and John Gibson. Well, I added that part. The story didn't get much traction. No shit, it didn't. Post spokeswoman Chris Corati said the Post wasn't naming the individual because, quote, it has long respected the right of whistleblowers to report wrongdoing in confidence, which protects them against retaliation. See, this is, you know, an out-and-out admission. They know the whistleblower's name. They are not going to release it. They're not going to print it. Because if they do, the public will know that this is a guy who has worked against Trump from the moment Trump came into office, worked in the White House and worked against him, fired for doing, for working against him, leaking against him. Washington Post, DOJ is trying to finish its report on the launch of the Russia investigation by Thanksgiving. There's really no money quote there. Washington Post, Trump's businesses are in decline. They talk about Trump going to a Trump hotel. Money quote, it was another presidential trip that brought Trump private benefits. A hotel was paid $100,000 for the lunch. Trump's presence also gave a boost to the property that, like some of his others, is suffering from financial decline. Profits fell 89% from 2015 to 2018, from $16.7 million to $1.8 million, according to documents filed with Cook County, Illinois. Trump's hotel struggled, even as other Chicago hotels held steady or thrived. So this is a story about how the presidency is costing him money. Politics. Liberal Bill Galston says Warren's health care plan, which he's laid out in excruciating detail, is the longest suicide note ever in politics. These lines come at the end. He explains that she, you know, laid out this, you know, huge Medicare for All plan, and how many people had private insurance, and how many people were happy with their private insurance, and how a lot of private insurance was are union contracts in which workers gave up salary or wage increases in order to have nice fat health benefit packages. And he writes, Ms. Warren insists that if Democrats are willing to put up a fight, they can get Medicare for All done. As I recall, the Light Brigade was full of fight, but its charge into enemy lines still yielded an epic catastrophe. Ms. Warren should be commended for the wealth of detail in her plan, which allows voters to judge it for themselves. This said, she may have penned the longest suicide note in recorded history. There is no reason for the entire Democratic Party to sign it. Democrats win big in Virginia. Honestly, this is not a surprise. Northern Virginia is what controls the votes in Virginia. And, you know, it's just gone totally blue with the explosion of federal employment. The money quote in Virginia, where Mr. Northam and two other statewide Democrats were pressured to resign following a series of scandals. That's a blackface scandal earlier this year. The party overcame its own self-inflicted challenges by harnessing voter antipathy to Mr. Trump. For the first time since 1993, Democrats control both chambers of the legislature and the governor's office. Now they're going to be able to redraw the legislative boundaries after next year's census, and they're going to be able to do gun control and all kinds of stuff. New reality for Republicans in Virginia. No shit. They lost everything. That's in the Washington Post. Washington Post. Now the left hates the Nationals because several are public Trump supporters. Ryan Zimmerman, for instance, the first baseman. The money quote. Zimmerman was the target of an anonymous editor angered by the ballplayer's praise of President Trump at a White House ceremony earlier in the day. Catcher Kurt Suzuki got it worse. Bill Palmer, a liberal political analyst, tweeted that the Hawaii native should be, quote, banned from baseball for putting on a red MAGA hat that Palmer called a form of racist hate speech and implicit threat of violence, which, of course, you know, is horseshit, but that's what they say. Tech. Okay, so this is in the San Francisco Chronicle. A while back, I was talking about how the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the San Francisco Chronicle, and me all expected that there would be an overnight explosion of millionaires in San Francisco, further driving up housing prices. Well, Uber went public, and the lockup expires tonight. That was a six-month lockup. If you were an employee and owned stock, you couldn't sell it for 6 months. There will probably be no rush to sell because the stock has tanked. Oh, poor babies. Here's a money quote. Tepid quarterly results reported on Monday sent the stock to an all-time low on Tuesday. Although the $1.16 billion loss on revenue of $3.81 billion was better than analysts expected, Uber closed at $28.02 Tuesday, down 9.85% for the day and down 37% compared to its IPO price of $45. New York Times, tech giants pledged billions for housing in the Bay Area. Will it help? No, it probably won't because there's a lot of NIMBY going on out there. Airbnb, this is in New York Times, Airbnb defeated in Jersey City, where I lived all those years I worked in New York. This is a big deal because Jersey City is so close to New York City. I mean, you just get on that PATH train and 4 minutes later, you're getting off at World Trade Center. You know, it was a big deal. There was a lot of Airbnb houses there, and Jersey City residents did not like it one damn bit. And they voted against Airbnb. Social justice warriors. Harvard traces its origins to an Antiguan slave owner. Antigua wants reparations. Money quote. In an urgently worded letter recently sent to Harvard, Antigua and Barbuda Prime Minister Gaston Brown demanded the university pay his country reparations, quote, for the gains Harvard enjoyed at the expense of Antiguan slaves. Now, the connection is a plantation owner named Isaac Royal Jr., the wealthy benefactor of Harvard's very first law professor in 1815, whose name is still attached to Harvard's distinguished Royal Professor of Law position today. Oh, then Harvard's in trouble. California, 250 tons of debris pulled from an Oakland homeless camp. 250 tons. When San Francisco cleaned up a homeless camp, they took out 10 tons. San Francisco Chronicle, they're woke. Mission Dolores was a torture chamber. No sainthood for Father Junipero Serra, who founded the chain of missions in California. San Francisco Gate, which is the free version of the Chronicle. The October fire hell month is over, but we'll come back again. There's a money quote there for you to read. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, New York Times, the massacre ambush of Americans in Mexico shows how helpless the Mexican government is. New York Times, Russians gobbled up American university. Yeah, that's an interesting story. New York Post, the Mormon massacre in Mexico, probably a cartel mix-up. A suspect is in custody. One of the teenage victims of the attack who survived had to walk 6 miles for help. New York Post, this is interesting. I may tell this story later today in the podcast, too. Harry Shearer sues the shit out of Universal Music Group over the songs in Spinal Tap. and he wins. And I will tell you that Harry Shearer used to be a friend of mine. He broke it off, I think, because, you know, I think because he just couldn't deal with the fact I worked for Fox. But, you know, back when he did like me, he called me up one day in San Francisco and said, we're showing this movie and we need to fill the house with people who give us good card. So I call a lot of friends and other people call friends. And we all went to this theater up in Pacific Heights and watched the Spinal Tap for the first time. Everybody just screamed and wrote these fantastic cards. The studio didn't want to release it. It was only because of that screening that they agreed to release it. And this, I just say, for Axios, what the hell? I look at Axios every so often. You know, it's kind of an interesting news site. They figured out where I am. And now they pepper their feed to me with stories about Texas. Axios, I don't want that. That is the morning digestion for today. Angry Rich tells me I should make this shorter, but it is what it is. I don't really know how to make it shorter. And I just go through the news that I curate, and I leave a lot of crap out. Believe me, the papers are filled with so much junk that I don't tell you about. Maybe I should. But anyway, that's it for today. Send me a note at host@johngibson.com. Call me at the bitch box at 859-544-2766. Follow me on Twitter at Gibson Radio and retweet anything you see is interesting. And subscribe to the podcast at johngibson.com. I'm telling a Glenn Frey story today at the end of the podcast.